Back. It's episode 33 of Eurobash, and me and Niall McGrath are firmly in the house. How are you, big man?
Good, yeah, not too bad. Yourself?
He's just handling that old mixing board over there like an old Judge Jules back in the day, in the height of his prime.
Pro, Petey.
A pro.
That's what we call him. Pros. Well used to this shizzle. What's going on? Good weekend?
A good weekend, but I have a bit of an announcement to make here, Niall.
What, another one?
I know. There's so many announcements.
Another one, but, sure.
From now on, MMA Fighting is going to bring you all of the podcasts under one banner. You can now get all of the podcasts. That begins with the MMA Hour on Monday with my good man Danny and my good man Luke. And it goes to us on Tuesday with Eurobash, the A-side with Sean Alshadi on Wednesdays, and I believe the MMA Beat on Thursdays. And you can get all of these on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get them. Under the MMA Fighting banner. So we'll have a new episode out for most days of the week, and who knows, maybe we'll add one again in the future.
Whoa.
But finally, I know you guys have been asking for a long, long time, so you can now get the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, and all those good places.
We won't have to be tweeting back about 20 times
rage
on
tweeting.
Tuesday morning.
Rage tweeting. Listen, it's not up to me.
Exactly.
But no, glad that we can finally get that out to you guys. Niall, how are you? I just want to say I'm sorry about what happened at the Manchester United match, okay? It didn't go well, and I was thinking of you.
It's a bad week. Bad couple of weeks. Bad season. I just wanted the season to end now, in fairness. It was
a one-all draw with Chelsea. They took the lead. United usually win when they take the lead, and there was a horrific blunder from David De Gea.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. And I think when you know De Gea is having such bad form as he is recently, that you're in trouble, and was very much the case. And listen, I think they started very well, but you know, they faded off. It was a bit of a spineless display in the second half.
Well, there you go. Well, look, I know what's going to cheer you up. Some MMA news.
Yeah, can't
some
wait.
Headlines, Niall. You don't get enough of them at all in your day-to-day life.
No.
Well, let's start where it all happened on Saturday night. Mr. Jack Hermansson, you and me were saying this looked like a time where he could step up to the plate, and he absolutely did. It was a masterclass. He looked absolutely unbelievable.
Brilliant,
he was relentless. You know, we'll talk about it more later on, but, you know, he was brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think you used the word there, and we used it off air, relentless. We saw everything we thought we would see from him, especially as we set up against the cage.
Like a middleweight Peter Yan.
Yeah, he literally was. And, you know, the takedowns, you know, the guillotine attempt in the first, it was a dominant five-round victory, and you could see the emotion afterwards. Obviously, it was that big breakthrough fight, and now I think, you know, no one's going to want to get in there with the Joker. And, you know, at one point, he probably could even finish the fight 2 points, I think, in the first two rounds. But it was a dominant display. And I think, as for Jacare, we'll talk to it a bit later on, I think, you know, it was the perfect time to get Jacare. I think Jacare's on a downward slope now. You know, 39 years of age, not getting any younger.
Absolutely. Mike Perry called for a fight with Darren Till after his memorable fight with Alex Cowboy. There seems to be mixed emotions on this. Like, I mean, if Darren's staying at 170, I think it's the fight to make, though.
Possibly.
Are you more against it?
I think more for Mike so than Darren. I think, you know, we've talked about it a lot. I think it's time for Darren to take some time off till possibly, you know, the last quarter of this year, then get back in there at 185 pounds. I think he needs to move up now and not kill his body anymore, because eventually he's going to have to make the move up.
And that's going to be really what happens here. I think if he does stay at 170, that's a fight that UFC will probably make, because I felt like they didn't make it before and they were kicking themselves. Like, why didn't we actually do this, you know?
Yeah, they could have done it that time, but then the lads went training with each other, killed it off a bit, and all that sort of stuff. And but, you know, another stupid call out from Mike Perry, I thought afterwards, was Colby Covington. Like, that fight is just not happening. Like, like, some of these guys, like, they need to be more ill-advised in what they're doing. You know, better advised. When they're getting on the microphone, you know, plan out things beforehand, have a little thing in their mind. You know, Darren maybe was an okay call out, but still, I think Darren's gone to 85. I think you have to have something definite, plan it out, map it out, get some interest from the public, And I just don't think really either of those fights are going to happen. The Colby one was just stupid. Like, what?
I didn't even hear that until you said it. Yeah, that's a bit mad. UFC 242 is going to take place in Abu Dhabi on September 7th. We talked about this for many weeks now. Khabib Nurmagomedov obviously going to be fighting that night. Well, that's the word.
Yeah, well, that was the date we and heard about. And Abu Dhabi makes a lot of sense now. Yeah, it's a pay-per-view.
Yeah, and of course, Dustin Poirier, I see, has tweeted... location sent. Who right now do you feel will be taking
well,
on
it sounds like it is Dustin.
I think it should be. You know, if we're gonna play by the rules Ferguson, of interim titles now.
Well, no, we never do. So, listen, you don't know. Dustin's pulled out of fights in the past before as well. The Nate Diaz one, we didn't really get much answers to why he pulled out of that. You know, I'm sure Mr. McGregor will be on standby at some point. I wouldn't be surprised if it's one of those were 2 weeks before and McGregor steps in to fight Habib. Listen, it probably is going to be Poirier at the moment, the way from what we're hearing and what's been said from both sort of parties. Yeah, it probably will be Dustin. Listen, you know how I feel about interim belts. I'm not going to get into this again.
Loves
them. Fucking hate them. If there is a number one contender, we all know who it is. It is Mr. Ferguson. I don't care what anyone says. I know he's out and he's due back, but yeah, it is. It's going to be Dustin at the moment.
I think Dana White actually said in the post-fight press conference that he doesn't think that Tony's ready to come back just yet. And we kind of said that.
Yeah,
that
was it's probably the last quarter of the year.
Which September would be, well, October, November.
But yeah, I would have thought around then. But yeah, it's an interesting one. I don't know how I feel about it, though. But I think Habib will go through Dustin like he would most guys. I know you're sort of grinning at me there, but listen... How can you back against Habib?
Yeah, oh no, you can't. I mean, he's definitely going to be the favorite.
Maybe I shouldn't say go through. You know, I think he's going to beat him.
So. He'll go through. I mean, yeah. He'll beat him. Yeah. Saladin Parnas becomes the interim KSW featherweight champion. What a talent that guy is! Absolutely amazing performance against Szymanski, in Lublin, Poland at the weekend. There, great card. We'll talk about KSW again later on. Jack Shore defends his Cage Warriors title with a third round submission of Scott Malone.
What a performance!
Oh my God! And you know, we say it till we're blue in the face, and we'll hear from Jack later on. But he does just get better and better every single time. And you can see the strategy play out in front of your eyes. What he told us last week is what happened in the fight.
But the amazing thing is the comfort in which he does it. Yeah. The adversity, and you're just going... Like, it's just he just doesn't care. He was up against the cage, a little bit of early adversity, I think.
Two takedowns, you can see it.
Malone, yeah.
Well, he's a European-level judoka he's up against, you know.
And just swinging elbows, cool as a breeze, banging them off Malone's head. And, Malone looked absolutely knackered going into that third.
He was brilliant in the first, though.
He was. He was really good. But look how calm
Jack
was. It's crazy. It's just like,
I think
Anthony,
I
throw at me, I'm going to... it doesn't matter. It's like a learning process. It's brilliant.
In the midst of all those takedown attempts from Scott Malone, the thing that showed me how comfortable Jack Shore was, he tried to throw him himself. He tried to throw this, Commonwealth judoka. He tried a little foot sweep on him. He's going for it.
It's just the comfort in which he looks in there.
Yeah.
And I think when you have a guy that's that calm as well, that always sort of works out for a mixed martial artist. They'll kick on to do. They'll be able to deal with the pressure. And I think he's ready for the UFC now.
Reigning Eurobash champion,
five times now, but five two times. Ahead of everyone else.
It's crazy. But and also, just as Jack Shore was doing his post-fight interview, when he was kind of saying, he thinks he's ready for the step up, as he told us, Cage Warriors announced a return date in Cardiff on October 12th. And on the poster is Jack Shore will be defending his title. Now, we did speak to Jack. He's going to shed some light on this earlier. It's not an affront in any way to him, but I guess from what Jack says, and you'll hear later, is if the UFC don't come calling, he will defend his title on that.
Yeah, night. I think it's boiling, playing up to his assets here now. And, let's be honest, man. Get as much money for these guys as you can. Yeah. Get a bigger contract as possible. And there's nothing wrong with that, in my opinion.
The Welsh went 7-0 on that card, on the professional card. It's not like they're going to have nobody to put on that card. 100%. Mason Jones, fantastic in the co-main event. Corey McKenna, the teenage terror, as I call her, was got back to winning ways. They have a conveyor belt of talent there. KSW announced a German show as well during their broadcast. I don't have the day here in front of me. And I saw that Martin Lewandowski also suggested that they could be on their way to Croatia or Serbia. When you look at the guys they have there from Croatia, Saldic, there's lots of guys. I mean, they can do that, and it's a good place to move into. That seems to be like some untapped talent source there. And look, from the guys that they're getting from Croatia and Serbia on the KSW cards, I'd love to see that, and I think it's a great idea. Yeah, they're pretty much, we're going to be touching on a lot of these things later on in the podcast, but and just on last week's podcast, a lot of people got on to me about the Martin McGrain interview, Michael McGrain interview. Why do I keep on calling Martin? You know, he kind of gave us an interview, and he was very he was full of praise when it came to Conor McGregor, and then obviously an interview showed up on TMZ where he said, you know, I saw countless tabloid papers pick it up over here.
Total tabloid misquoting.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a misquote, but I think he was having a bit of fun with it, and it was taken the wrong way. Yeah, definitely. I know for a fact that Michael has been training with Conor McGregor this week at Crumlin Boxing Gym. There's definitely no ill will there.
Yeah, 100%.
Just thought I'd clear that up. And lads, we have a bit of an announcement here for our first guest of the day. We told you we'd get him. We told you we'd get him, and we got him. He was absolutely brilliant. Mr. Peter Yan, the Siberian gangster pop boy with the main man in management, Soyat. He works with Danny Rubenstein, and we've been trying to get this for a long, long time. And let me tell you, that man delivered, and he delivered to the nth degree. You have plenty of articles be coming out of this interview. Thank you so much to Soyat. He's been great for me to keep in touch with Peter. And just delighted to have him on the show. We got his thoughts on John Lineker's fight the other night, a man who he's been targeting since he pretty much started in the UFC. And we got him to look at UFC 238, where not only the bantamweight title will be decided, but Aljamain Sterling's fight and Pedro Munhoz. And of course, Peter Yan will be taking on Jimmy Rivera. Lots of huge bantamweight fights taking place that night. So we'll leave you with Peter, myself, and Soyat, and we'll be back to you guys in about 15. MMAfighting.com, and it's finally happening. We are finally joined by the Siberian gangster, Mr. No Mercy himself, Peter Yan, and I want to take this opportunity to say thank you very much to Soyat here, who has helped us keep our ties with Peter since he's been signed with the UFC. And he is going to help us with the translation today. So thank you very much, Soyat.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Oh, always a pleasure. Ever since the first time I spoke to Peter on the phone, I said this would make a great podcast because he's a very funny man, as you know, I'm sure.
Yeah. Thank you for touching this mission.
I kill you.
Well, I've got to ask, right? My first question, I know Peter is very confident. I know he knew all about his ability for a long time, but to be on the verge of getting 5 wins in a year with the UFC, did he expect it to be this smooth? Did he expect him to climb the rankings this quickly?
Он говорит, знаешь, что ты очень уверен в себе, но ты, говорит, за короткий срок, за 8 месяцев одержал 4 победы. Ожидал ли ты, что все пройдет так гладко, и ты так высоко поднимешься?
Нет, я не ожидал, что все так быстро пройдет, но то, что я уверен в своих силах, я и по сей день уверен, что я могу дойти до пояса, в принципе, без особых проблем.
Yeah, like, I didn't expect that it's going to happen so quick, but I'm still confident in my abilities, and I believe I can get to the title without much problems.
Yes, yes, and I think it is looking that way for a lot of people at the moment. But I mean, was it his plan to be this active? Was there any time where he was like, "Wow, these guys want me to fight again? This is crazy," because his activity is really, really amazing.
Планировал ли ты быть таким активным, или в какой-то момент ты подумал, блин, это какое-то сумасшествие, слишком быстро все происходит, типа они опять хотят, чтобы я подрался?
Я не думал так, что это какое-то сумасшествие, просто у меня менеджер сумасшедший, все, а я что? Я зарабатываю деньги, вот, зарабатываю себе на жизнь, я люблю свое дело, братан, пиздец, ничего.
I didn't think it was crazy. Just my manager is crazy, you know. my job is to fight, you know, make money, you know. I love my job. I love what I do. So that's it.
Yes, and we know that he has been given that new UFC contract, which of course was very, very warranted. But you know, after that Dodson win, I think everybody realized that if he can beat John Dodson, he can compete at the very top of this division. But how happy was he with the Jimmy Rivera matchup? Is this the kind of opponent he was looking for? Does he believe that a win over Rivera opens up the championship, his path to the championship?
Насколько ты доволен тем, что тебе дали сейчас Джимми Ривера как соперника? Считаешь ли ты, что победа над ним тебе откроет путь к бою за титул?
Ну, я очень рад, что мне дали такого соперника выше меня в рейтингах. Это очень серьезно. Вот. Я не думаю, что победа над ним откроет мне, ну, к титулу, но я думаю, что она меня будет приближать все ближе и ближе.
Yeah, I'm very happy that they gave me Jimmy because he's ranked higher than me, pretty serious opponent. And I don't think like this win gonna get me the title shot, but I'm sure this win gonna get me closer to the title contention.
A lot of people felt that Jimmy didn't look the same as he had previously when he fought, I believe it was Aljamain Sterling last time. Did he feel that maybe that was a bit of a flat performance from Jimmy?
Смотрел ли ты его последний бой с Стерлингом? Считаешь ли ты, что он не показал свой уровень в том бою?
Я посмотрел этот бой. В принципе, он все показал, потому что от соперника тоже многое зависит. Дает ли он тебе, насколько поработать. Я думаю, что я посмотрел его бой с Додсоном и со Стерлингом, в принципе, что там одинаково, в принципе, работал.
So, I saw his fight with Sterling and with John Dodson, and I don't believe, like, he didn't show up. He just showed his level, and it also depends on what his opponent did. Like, Aljamain did a good job in stopping him. And Peter, don't think it was like fluff performance. It was his ordinary performance.
Right. So, I mean, he must feel his speed is going to be a huge advantage here because, as we know, Peter is relentless when he's in there. I don't think we've seen a bantamweight fight with this kind of style a lot in the US. He must be very confident.
Считаешь ли ты, что твоя скорость будет ключевым фактором? Дает ли она тебе уверенность в этом бою?
Нет, моя скорость здесь большой роли не сыграет. Здесь сыграет моя техника и мое умение думать в ринге, в октагоне.
I don't think like the speed will be the key factor. I think like the key factors will be my technique and my fight IQ, you know, decision I make in the octagon.
Тут не нужна скорость, тут надо быть просто грамотным, делать определенные вещи под него и все, в принципе. Не надо никакая скорость, быть просто своевременным и жестким и все.
Yeah, you don't need to be fast in this fight. You just have to do the right thing at the right time, you know. Just that's what I'm preparing for him. You have to hit him hard, you know, at the right times.
With TJ out of the picture, obviously we know that the title is on the line that night, but does he think that wins mean a lot more when the champion is gone? Like, you know, the matchmakers are watching these fights and kind of thinking about who could be next in line. Does he feel like a win is even bigger now? With the champion being with the championship being vacated and to be decided that night.
Учитывая, что TJ дисквалифицирован на 2 года и сейчас нет чемпиона в этом дивизионе, и вот именно на том турнире, где ты будешь драться, как раз будет определяться новый чемпион. Такая ситуация, это играет ли тебе на руку она в твоих как бы надеждах на то, чтобы побороться за титул?
Да, она играет мне на руку, так как там будет драться, опять же, Стерлинг, Спидрита и мой бой с Джимми. Я думаю, что... Ну, я хотел бы, да, драться за пояс и надеюсь, что подеремся когда-нибудь.
Yeah, I'm glad that... I
can already hear him laughing.
Yeah, and he said, like, I'm glad that the situation is like it is right now, like, new champion will be crowned the same night. I'll be fighting. Also, Aljamain will be fighting Pedrito on that night. So he's sure like matchmakers will watch closely and it will help him, you know, to get title line for sure.
Was he surprised to hear about TJ? We've heard a lot of reactions about this, and obviously guys who used to train with him, a lot of them have said they weren't very surprised. Was he surprised? Did he ever have any doubts about TJ?
Был ли ты удивлен, что TJ поймали на допинге? Вот многие его одноклубники не были удивлены. Тебя ли это удивило? Подозревал ли ты его?
Братан, меня это не удивило. Мне вообще похую вообще, честно. Поймали его, не поймали бы его, бля. Fuck is нахуй, бля, Джо, братан. Не знаю, мне вообще похуй.
He's like, I don't give a fuck about DJ. Like, I don't care what he does, what he did, you know. I don't give a fuck about him.
Команда, если команда его, ну, как это он сказал, типа не была удивлена.
Да.
Ну, бля, дебилы они, значит, сами знали все.
And if his team wasn't surprised that he got caught, you know, they're idiots because they knew everything, you know, and you know, who knows what they're doing themselves.
Do you think 2 years is long enough? Does he think that was a long enough ban? Or, you know, some people think that this should be a lifetime ban.
Считаешь ли ты, что 2 года слишком маленький срок для дисквалификации? Многие считают, что должен быть пожизненно он дисквалифицирован.
Да не, пожизненно это очень много. Я думаю, 2 года и так много. В принципе, многих бойцов ловили. Ну, я думаю, что это как бы достаточно будет. И так очень много для него будет 2 года.
No, I think lifetime is too much. Like 2 years is what has been a standard in UFC. Mm. So I think 2 years is gonna be a long 2 years for him anyway.
Right, right. You know, I was watching John Lineker and Corey Sandhagen last night, and I was wondering how Peter felt about that. I mean, has he watched that fight? Because I know the Lineker fight was one he wanted for a long time. Does he still want the fight after John has lost now to Corey?
Вот смотрел ли ты бой Линекера, что ты об этом бою думаешь, ты очень долго хотел с Линекером подраться, хочешь ли ты с ним все еще подраться, он проиграл, поступом проиграл.
Да, я посмотрел бой, да, если он будет выше меня в рейтинге, я хотел бы с ним подраться, если он будет прям ниже меня, ну, не очень бы хотел с ним драться, если, конечно, так скажет, ну, что так надо, тогда подеремся, чё. А так у него голова больше, блядь, чем он сам, по нему там грех не попадать.
If somehow he'll be still ranked higher than me, then I can fight him, you know. But if he's gonna be ranked lower than me, like I don't see the any interest in fighting him. But if that's a fight that UFC will want, and if this fight will bring me closer to the title, I will take this fight, you know. His head is bigger than his body, and it's hard not to hit him, you know. You know, his large head and, you know, his wide punches, you know, it's like an easy matchup for me.
And what does he think of Sandhagen? Does he think he will be a fixture at the top of the division? Because I know Peter plans to be at the top of this division for a long, long time.
Что ты думаешь о его сопернике Кори Сандхаген? Считаешь ли он, что задержится в топах на долгое время? Ты же планируешь задержаться, может, вы еще встретитесь?
У него база какая-то ударная, вижу, что это технически, да, он чувствительный, все, но у него вот эта еще любительская тема, вот он попал 1000 ударов, бля, ни разу его не потряс практически, плюс отдает борьбу, я вижу, что там этот ему ноги не заправил, если бы ноги заправил, мог бы его задушить, там, в принципе, там свалился, вот, а так, в принципе, ну, технически не думаю, что он там, может быть, наберет, он, не знаю, первый раз в жизни увидел, а так я хотел бы его разъебать,
It's the first fight I saw of Corey. I can tell, like, he's a striker, you know, have a good striking base, but I can see, like, he's, like, still, like, fights like an amateur, you know, he landed hundreds and hundreds of punches and never, like, put Lineker in trouble. In real trouble.
So he's scoring points rather than hitting too hard.
Yeah, he's like a point fighter, and he's like Peter sees the holes in his wrestling and grappling too, and he would like to fuck him up in the future too.
I just, you know, we talked about the it's nearly like
what you smile, brother. What you smile?
I'm getting afraid now. I'm getting too afraid from here. But
no problem, brother.
No problem. Relax.
Okay. I got to ask him about the tournament. We talked about, you know, he's fighting, and so is Aljamain, and Aljamain's fighting Pedrito, and obviously then we have at the very top Marlon Moraes and Henry Cejudo. What does he think of these fights? Who does he think is going to come away with the win? We know he is picking himself to beat Jimmy, but between Pedro and Aljamain, what does he think will happen? And Henry and Marlon.
Что ты думаешь, кто победит в тех боях? Вот Хенри против Марлона и Педро против Альджимейна.
Я думаю, что Марлон Хенри 50-50. Вот, не знаю, мне кажется, если Марлон навяжет ему, вот этот бой продлится больше 2 там раундов, мне кажется, Марлон его выиграет. А если... Не знаю, короче, мне кажется, такой бой спорный, конечно. Посмотрим, как Гендри себя поведет тоже. А по поводу, мне кажется, Стерлинг выиграет.
So Marlon and Henry fight, it's pretty even. I think it's 50-50. I think in the earlier rounds, Henry have more chances to win. And if fights go longer, I think Marlon have an advantage. And Pedro and Aljamain, I think Aljamain is a favorite, but it's also hard to guess.
Right. And, you know, I know I've asked Peter about this before, but, you know, I always try to tell people the only loss of his career is quite controversial. I spoke to a judge who worked with ACB at the time, and he told me that this fight should have been a draw, a majority draw, not a decision loss, because he had a point deducted and then the head judge deducted a further point. I know I've asked him about this before, but is it an annoying, because we know how valuable undefeated careers are in combat sports? You know, does he feel like this should be a no contest?
Многие люди не знают, но он всем говорит, что вот твое поражение Магомеду не должно было засчитано как поражение, что это была должна быть ничья из-за снятого балла, но они еще из-за этого же балла еще присудили тебе поражение. Раздражает ли тебе это? И так как, ну, непобежденный рекорд ММА тоже дает какое-то преимущество.
Ну, оно меня не раздражает, конечно же. Я понимаю, что я тот бой не проиграл, и даже по запискам со снятой, по запискам с желтой карточкой у нас была ничья. Поэтому эти просто, блядь, хуйдрыны забрали у меня. Сейчас бы у меня был 13-0, ебануться, красивый рекорд.
Значит, это тебя раздражает?
Да не раздражает, но сейчас уже не думаю об этом.
Yeah, doesn't annoy me too much right now. I don't think about it at all. But yeah, like you said, even with the yellow card, it was a draw, and they took this away from me. You know, I could have been undefeated now.
And even the headbutt didn't look like a headbutt to me. You know, when I was looking back at it, it seems like a very harsh penalty.
И говорит, даже то, что удар головой нанес, он не был таким серьезным, чтобы снимать желтую карточку.
Да, конечно. Вы вообще откуда Магомедов? И знаете, бля, он как в мои годы расцвел, но так он вообще и пропал, бля. Вообще забудьте за него, как страшный сон.
Yeah, it was nothing, you know. The only reason you know about Магомедов is because of me, you know. Just forget about him for now already.
Finally, and thank you so much for this. This is brilliant. This couldn't have gone better. But I must ask, what is his prediction for Jimmy Rivera? I know it's a bit of a cliche, but I've got to ask, what does he think is going to happen?
Он говорит, он должен спросить тебя, какой у тебя прогноз на бой с Риверой.
Прогноз на бой? Блядь, дать ему пизды, братан. Блядь, какой у меня прогноз, блядь? Выйти подраться, нахуй, забрать победу, нахуй, заорать, нахуй, сказать, я, нахуй, who is next, нахуй.
Yeah, my prediction is to beat the shit out of him and then celebrate the victory and ask who's next.
That is brilliant. So yeah, thank you so much, my friend. This has been absolutely brilliant.
Us,
oh man, this was fantastic.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Peter. Amazing to speak to you again.
Good questions.
Good questions.
Good questions, brother. Good
question. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of the day
English.
In Phuket.
No.
Oh, is he speaking English?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, very good. Very
Maybe
good.
Next time you don't need me, hopefully.
You're going to be you won't be as busy as usual, Soyeth. Well, what a trip that was with Mr. Peter Yan. No mercy, the Siberian gangster, whatever you want to call him. That was very, very good fun. I'm really looking forward to that whole card now after speaking to him. And now we're going to go over to an interview with risen light heavyweight champion Jiří Procházka, who won the title off Mo Lawl. It was an inaugural title, so he didn't win it off him, I suppose. It was vacant. But huge win. Absolute masterclass at Risen 15. And he has some big plans. And he called for a fight with Mr. Ryan Bader. So we'll come back to you after this interview and look at what happened last weekend.
MMAfighting.com. And I am joined by Risen light heavyweight champion Jiří Procházka. Jiří, how are you, my friend? And congratulations on a fantastic win.
Hi, everybody. Thank you. I'm good. Now I take care to my body after fight because I crashed, crack my finger.
Oh.
And but will be good. It's not so much big so it's so no horrible.
Okay. And I mean, how did it feel for you to return home after getting this title? Did a lot of people congratulate you? Was there a big reception for you when you came home to Czech Republic?
Yeah. They take the people here take it like a big big thing. Yeah,
it is a big thing.
Yeah, like a big thing for a Czech MMA. You know, yeah. It's something like biggest.
It is probably the biggest moment for Czech MMA, right? It's probably the biggest.
Yeah, I think. Yes. But I take it like it's just one stop on my way. I'm thinking about more these titles, and it was not. I don't show my full. My 100%, yeah.
Yes.
Because I need more fights, and I know when I feel like I want, it will be more better.
Yes. I understand. I've got to ask you. Muhammad Lal was the only person who had beaten you in Rizin until this fight, and then you got revenge. Did that feel good, given that he had a victory over you in the past?
Yes, I feel like that. Yeah, but I don't take it like a revenge. Yes,
right.
Because revenge is I don't hate people. I take it like another fight.
Yes.
It was for me another fight, another man. And it was in Yokohama, so it was another place, not in Tokyo.
Yes. And you know, we are so excited to see European guys fighting in Rizin. How did you get to Rizin? Because you have been fighting there for nearly 4 years.
Yeah. It was, I think, 3-4 years back, before one fight, the one manager from Rizin send me the message, and I don't read it. I don't read it. I think 2 weeks I don't read it, because I was in prepared to fight in Russia.
Right.
So one time I open it and read it and say that to my manager. And he was very excited from this, and tell me after this fight from Russia, we go to the Japan. I don't want to go to Rizin and another fight after fight. Pyramid, you know.
Yes.
It was more fights, eight men, and
a tournament.
We took it, and it was very good. It was, I think, the best in my life.
Wow. I've got to ask you, a guy you have fought before, Carl Albrechtsen, he got a win that night. Do you believe that Rizin will try to match you two guys up for the title next?
I think yes, but I think the Carl needs more fights
to challenge for the title.
Yeah, to challenge for the title.
Mm. I understand, and because you won
because
in the first round
to deserve the title. Yeah, because he have just one fight in Rizin, and this one fight in Rizin it. Wasn't so wasn't so so much great, but he won, yeah? He yes. won.
Yes.
And for me, he will be a good opponent, I think, because I know him, he know me, and this fight, second one, will be another and different.
Even bigger as well, with because yeah, the title yeah. is on the line, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You know, we were looking at you and how you have claimed the title for Rizin, and we noticed that Bellator and Rizin do a lot of business together. You know, we see Horiguchi fighting Darion Caldwell from Bellator. Would you like an opportunity to fight the Bellator champion, Ryan Bader?
Yeah, this is what I'm looking for. This is for me. I like to have a big challenge, big challenges, yeah? I need to have big challenge to feel like they want to take my life, yeah, like when I fight for my life and I fight the best, I show my best, and this fight in Bellator title or something like that will be for me biggest challenge, and I will show my best. Yeah, because my last three fights in Rizin before the title was not so good, because the opponents opponents was good, but
you couldn't get excited. You couldn't get excited for the fight.
Yes, yes, wow. Yes.
That's amazing. You know, when I look at you and look at your striking, I am blown away by how good you are, and I think against Mohamed Lal this time, your striking was mm-hmm. so fantastic. Do you think that your striking would cause problems for Ryan Bader now?
I think when I have an opponent, I can do the strategy for the fight, mm. and there is no problems for that.
For Ryan Bader, no problems.
I think no. I try to punch like I have in my head fight from UFC, Lyoto Machida versus Ryan Bader.
Yes.
And this fight is my very favorite, because in this fight their fight showing the best technique, the catching the moment, and you saw that fight?
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
Yes, it was not so long fight, but this is how I want to fight. Yeah, 1-2 great punches, but so much precision, so much good moves, moment catch the moment, and it's over. Yeah, this is for me the mastery.
Yes, yes.
This is for me what I want.
I would love to see that fight, Yuri. I would love to see it. I hope somehow this happens, because in Bellator, Ryan Bader doesn't have any natural opponents. There's nobody that you can push up and say, this is the light heavyweight for you. So I think Rizin and Bellator should make this fight happen.
Yeah. I pray for that, and I want to do that, because this will be for me big challenge, wait, I have translator here.
It could take you to the next level. Your whole career would go to the next level, right?
It's no. It's give me the sense, yeah, for the show, to give my life in this fight, to give everything to this fight. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
This is why I'm fighting.
You know, when I look at you, you are so young. You are only 26 years of age, right?
Yeah, 26.
That's amazing. You have such a big future. It's crazy. You agree, right?
I mean,
many more years of fighting.
Yeah, thanks. I do that from my 17.
Wow.
Now will be, now it's 10 years, something like that.
That's incredible.
And
do you someday want to fight in the UFC? Is that a goal of yours, or are you happy to fight with Rizin?
Yes, it is, but I'm thinking about the don't go the UFC like that. I am now. I want to go to the rise to the UFC or to fight the champion from UFC with some name, to do my name bigger.
Yes.
Yeah,
to
be a champion from I don't know, from Rising, from Bellator, and then I go to the title from UFC.
Wow, that would be incredible.
I need more experiences from fighting, and then I go everywhere. UFC.
When do you hope to fight again? What is your ideal time to fight again?
My idea to fight again?
Yes. When in the year would you like to fight again?
I don't know. I don't care. I think I don't care. I need to just 2-3 weeks now to go my things
go
to
crazy.
Be a little go crazy, little relax, keep the way, little travel, but still keep the way, technique, drill, and then I want to fight. Then I want to fight because I feel ready all year. Yet I'm not like every fighters, because they need 2 months or 3 months preparing for one fight, and then after fight eating like eating bullshit and nothing doing. I eating all the year how I want. How I feel that's better, best from my body. I'm physically ready to fight all year.
Amazing. Yuri, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It's been amazing to talk to you. I've been very entertained by everything you've been doing, and I cannot wait to see you fight again.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
And, thank you. We did it. let's go for the next challenges.
Absolutely. You go ahead and you have a few glasses of beer and you relax for a couple of weeks.
Thank you. Thank you.
All the best. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And it was great to speak to Yuri Prozhaka. You know, the guy is only learning to speak English. He got on to speak to us, and he put his point across as well. And we spoke about this just after that win, Noel. I mean, with Caldwell v. Horiguchi 2 just being announced, I mean, why not put the Rizin Light Heavyweight Champion in with Bader? There's no real natural, this is the next guy that needs to take him on.
There's nothing for Bader, really. Like, let's be honest. There's not nothing.
I mean, they do Phil weird. Davis, probably, if he beat
Lee
but McGarry.
We've seen that before. We've seen a lot of these fights. You know, they've cross promoted before, as you just said there, Haraguchi, Caldwell. Why not do it again? Why not do it on a show like that? You know, nothing wrong. I'm sure Ryan Bader will be well up for it. It's a fight that very much makes sense. And, you know, especially in that division across mixed martial arts, we need new contenders right at the very top of the game and on top of the second best promotion in the world at Bellator MMA. And it does. It makes sense.
And this guy looks like a talent, you know. Like, I mean, if you're knocking out Mo Lal, I mean...
Yeah, you're doing something right.
Exactly, yeah.
You know, and I think Bellator will be very interested in that, because there's a lack of real depth in that division across the board, not just in Bellator, but more so in Bellator, obviously, than the UFC. So I think it's a no-brainer, to be honest with you, Peter.
Yeah, he's got great hands. I'd love to see Bader in there against him. I mean, obviously, Bader is a fantastic fighter.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that would be a walk in the park whatsoever, but I mean, when you're a guy that young, you've got nothing to lose. You've already won a huge international title. Yeah, why not go ahead and do it? I'm going to just fly through KSW 48, what happened there. Pernas was absolutely unbelievable again. He had a lot more power in his punches. He told me before this fight, Niall, that I don't think I'm finishing him. I'm not such a powerful puncher. Goes in there and throws hell for leather. Unbelievable. He's looking at the referee at the end. TKO'd the guy, like, here, you're going to do this? Eventually the ref got involved. Look, this guy's 21 years of age. He's finished all four. I mean, sorry, he's beaten all four guys he's been put up against in KSW. And some of them former champions, Artur Sawinski, stuff like this. I mean, he is absolutely brilliant, and I would love to see him versus Gamrot. Why not? Again, I'll say, look, he's the interim champion. Gamrot's the undisputed champion, I believe. So, I mean, the thing is, Saladin told me he thinks that Gamrot's next fight is to defend his 55 title, so he's probably not going to fight him this year. But next year, my God, please let that fight happen. That guy is magic. And look, you're 13-0, you're this young in your career, you have so much ahead of you. Like, there are mistakes being made by a guy like this. It is going to happen, but my God, when he's in full flight, he's absolutely brilliant. I mean, he's such an exciting
prospect.
Let's
hope they do, because Gamrot, a lot of the time, and I'm a believer of this, they do sort of let Gamrot do what he wants.
You want to see someone that's going to go in there and ruffle a few feathers.
Exactly, like, and I think KSW and Martin Lewandowski need to do that, because they were very protective of Matthias after the Norman Park incidents and things like that, which went on there. And, you know, a lot of other promotions.
Ooh, hey.
You know, yeah. Ooh, hey. But, you know, a lot of other guys would have been suspended in other promotions, I feel.
Absolutely. The Jurkowski, a legend in KSW, a man who debuted in their first debut show. It's incredible. He got revenge for his loss to Bekovic, who he fought in the co-main event. Their first fight ended in an injury. Their second fight ended in an injury, with Juras getting revenge this time. So maybe not the big finish people wanted, but it was an entertaining fight. They came out in Mortal Kombat gear. I really enjoyed that. That's all you can ask for. Okay, SW really. Marian Jurkowski really upset the apple cart with a win over Grakan Skadzinski. As we know, Grakan had that big KO over Paul Redmond, who was referred to as Phil on the broadcast. But Marian Jurkowski came in and he was absolutely brilliant. He dominated him, and you know, he dropped him twice in the first and second round, which nobody would have predicted, but really fantastic showing from him. And I guess he's taken a lot of momentum, because a lot of people thought Grakan was going to be the next guy at 54 for Gamrot if he had won that. So huge momentum stealer there. Filip Pejic from Croatia, which we mentioned earlier, could be a potential location for KSW in the future. He got a great win over Filip Walensky. It was beautiful. Two beautiful head kicks set up, and then he finished it on the ground. It was really, really nice. Cezary Kesic and Shamil Musayev had fantastic debuts. Two undefeated prospects. Guys, I'll definitely be taking a look at for the 2020 prospects list, because very, very impressive altogether. That was KSW. Cage Warriors 104 started an hour later from Cardiff, Wales, the beautiful Viola, where I have been before to see Cage Warriors 100. And again, I'll say it again, massive day for Wales, 7-0 on the night for the professional card. But Jack Shore, we talked about him briefly at the start. This guy, do you think he's ready, based on what you saw? Do you think he's 100% ready? 100%, I do as well.
100% ready, especially after the other night. Just as I said there, you know, when a guy is so calm in any facet, even when he's under that amount of pressure in the opening rounds, it says to me that he's confident enough, looking at his face, seeing how relaxed, how composed, how cerebral he was and what he was doing. No question for me that he's ready. You know, everywhere the fight was going, he was comfortable, he was dealing with it, he didn't panic. It was just such a mature performance from such a young guy. And I think everyone in the UFC, if anyone was watching, should be pretty scared. They don't want to fight a guy like that. That is cool, calm, and calculated.
Yeah, and he's so unassuming in the way. Like, he doesn't really talk smack. He never really puts his opponents down. He's always bigging up everybody around him. I think it's just a breath of fresh air, to be honest. I think he's really, really kind of a different fighter. You know, so many people in the past relying on trash talk, stuff like this. That's 100 miles away from anything Jack Shore does.
It is, yeah. And, yeah, it is. It's a different approach, and it's an approach I think we're seeing a lot of young guys take these days.
Learn from the mistakes of many.
Yeah, and I think maybe, you know, it's a new trend. not obviously the guy that we have on. We always have a fight on in the background. We're watching here. Mike Perry's just
Mike Perry's
there.
Dancing,
just, yeah. Yeah, dancing like a relentless bunny rabbit on acid. But
yeah, that's him.
Yeah, that's Mike Perry. But yeah, no, listen, it is, and I think obviously what we saw with Mr. McGregor and Habib and all the things that went on there as well, you know, post and pre fight. That maybe, you know, the young lads are gone in a different route. But yeah, listen, I love the trash talk as well. I can't say I don't, but it's his style and it works for him. Do it. Yeah. Do it works for you, brother.
Mason Jones called for a lightweight title shot after his decision win over Donovan Desme. A really competitive fight. Donovan gave him a good go, but Mason had too much from in the end. And I really felt it was a good showcase of his complete arsenal. We saw some massive wrestling throws. We saw him dealing very well with the ground transitions of Donovan, who's a fantastic grappler. Yeah, so I really feel like when I look at this, I think Mason's next in line for that Welsh kind of... He's going to be the next flag bearer for Wales, you know, if Jack does go. I don't know if you saw Jamie Richardson and Phil Wells. Did you see this? This was absolutely mental. So at the end of the second round, Wells basically has Richardson finished. He knees him in the body. Richardson falls to the canvas. Phil starts, you know, he's up against the cage and Phil starts laying in with digs and just suddenly stops. So he suddenly stops and walks away. He thinks it's the end of the round. Mark Goddard screaming in his face, "It's not the end of the round." Runs back in. The round ends.
Did Brad say, "Unbelievable"?
He did. Of course he did. Brad and Josh were actually brilliant.
They're always great.
They were really, really good, though, in the Jones and Desme fight I found with the grappling transition. Josh is really good. He's obviously a black belt.
I literally did my catching up because it was working Saturday night, and I literally did my catching up yesterday and today on all the fights.
Well, let me tell you what happened with Richards and Wells first. Right, so... That ends the second round. The third round starts. The exchanges start flying in the last minute. Richardson again gets rocked. Looks like he's out of there. Goddard's right on top of it, taking a very close look. Then Richardson starts firing back. He ends up separating Wells from his senses with a minute left and winning the fight after just like, the round before being
silly boy
completely finished. So Richardson wins it. You know, I've heard from people there. Some people like saw the video and were like, "Is that an early stoppage?" Every single person that I saw that I talked to that was there was like, "It was a perfect stoppage." He was the camera panned away in the broadcast, so you couldn't really get a look at Wells. But apparently, he was like, completely at sixes and sevens, didn't know where he was. Yeah. You know, so fair play to Goddard for that one. A brilliant fight. You've got to go back and watch it. Even watch it from halfway through.
I will. I watched Jack and
Mason.
Mason today,
yeah. And Corey McKenna, fantastic rear naked choke win. She had a very tough first round off Fanny Redmond, her opponent, who was making her second trip to the competitive cage as a professional. So that's her. She's now 1-1, but Corey improves to 3-1, and once again looks like she has a fantastic future. She thanked Uriah Faber. She's over there quite a lot now.
That, yeah, she was over in Alpha Mess. So yeah, that's a big win. And I think the girl she's fighting was a IMAF champ. Is that correct?
Yes, that is right. Yeah, that is correct. Chris Edwards took a decision over Josh Abram. That was a really good back and forth fight as well. Josh Reed, relentless top control to get a decision win over Atten de Pep, who Jack Shore has faced on his run to the title. And then two great debuts from two other Welsh guys, Oban Elliott, who a lot of people are very excited about, and Ben Ellis. You know, I think they were predicted to win. They were in against guys with losing records, but nonetheless got the job done. And as we always say, in those early days of your career, it really doesn't matter who you're fighting. Just get in there and get about it and see what it all is and get that level of comfort up. So absolutely brilliant night for Cage Warriors. You know, Jack is a loss, but Jesus Christ, they have some amount of talent there, don't they, in Wales. It's kind of like what they had in Ireland. You know,
You
know, it's a similar kind of thing. There's so many guys, fans are interested. Like every week I have different guys, different fans getting onto me. Oh, you have to look at this lad from Wales. You know, it's unbelievable what's going on there.
Yeah, it is. And it's great to see, cause, you know, it's obviously been, the UFC haven't been great at really scouting out any Irish talent here. So it's great to see it being divided around the UK and the Republic of Ireland, and I think just for the interest and the growth of the sport as well is fantastic, and on this side of the pond, definitely.
Yes, indeedy. Did you watch UFC Fort Lauderdale?
I did, indeed.
Now, we talked about Jack earlier on. I mean, the one thing, right, the most impressive thing I found about this is, right, every time anyone gets in there with Jacare Souza, they don't even present the ground to him. They're saying, like,
they want to stay far
away. We know you want to go down there, yeah, But not only was Hermanson not afraid to take Jacare down, he made Jacare afraid to go down. Because when he went down in the first round, that weird guillotine he sets up with his massive arms that I don't know how he's setting up.
Returning, it was a half a twister or something. It was just mad. But
that guillotine is so... like to force Jacare to do that much work to get out of a submission, I don't think I've seen it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And then the second round, I mean, maybe it wasn't the most exciting thing to watch, but he did not stop throwing digs for that whole second round. As soon as he got top control, and that must have been absolutely energy sapping for Jacare.
I thought he had it at one point in the second. And then he was very, very clever in the third, as you said.
Took it off.
Took it off the pace a little bit, got a bit of freshness back, and then upped it again in the fourth and fifth.
Brilliant.
Up against the cage, as we thought it would if it was going to go to deeper rounds. Grind him, wear on the older guy. As you said, when he got him to the deck, just constantly working and neutralising anything that Jacare was trying to throw at him. Absolutely fantastic. And as I said, I don't think anyone in that top six now, which he's probably going to be in, you know, tomorrow.
Well, deserves to be.
The stupid UFC rankings that they are, but... yeah, this is a guy no one's going to want to get in there with. And momentum, we said it coming in again. It proves itself to be a massive, massive thing with fighters' confidence. And again, that was very much the case. Jacare, for me, he's, you know, not the force he once was, but still, it is that statement. It is that breakthrough. And I think the UFC, in terms of, you know, getting new guys' interest in Scandinavia, he's very much now, for me, the poster boy and the guy that could really... really cause a couple of upsets in this year. Just the way in which he fights. Maybe it's not always the best fighter that wins, but if you implement your skill set and your strengths and what you can do best, and that was just textbook.
Yeah, I agree.
Absolute textbook.
The one thing I was going to say to you is I watched his post-fight press conference. He was actually brilliant. Really, really good. The best I've seen Jack speaking. You could tell he's just full of energy, full of life after such an amazing win. But what he said is he's going to ask the UFC... who do I need to fight to get to a title? Who do you think he needs to fight to get to a title?
Wow, that's...
I know, well, that's the only thing I can think of,
that's
really.
That's the million-dollar question, you know. It's a fight that would probably make sense for him in terms of... again, it's a lot like the fight we've just seen. Would be someone like a Chris Weidman.
Yes, and that's a fight he was after for a long time as
you
well.
You know, that would just give further reassurance, I think, if he was to beat Chris Weidman.
I think he asked for Yoel Romero backstage with Megan O'Leary.
He's probably the only man in UFC history that's asked to fight Yoel Romero.
And Jacare. Nobody wants to fight Jacare.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, it's very true. So I think what it says about him, he's balls of steel as well. And, you know, I think one of those fights, maybe if anyone has their doubts, and I think we were pretty confident he was going to win last week.
I'd say you were more confident than I was, to be fair. Like I was saying, he can definitely do it. I'll side with him. I think he has the momentum playing with him. But Jacare is one of the greatest fighters
of
all time.
I think he could have pushed for a finish. I honestly do. But I think he was very cerebral in what he was doing in his approach.
He said in the post fight, he said, I tried for the finish early because that was one of two ways I saw it going. He said, either I finish him with this guillotine or else we're going to hell for five rounds.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I think the second was probably the round where he could have finished it, and it was just a fantastic work. But I think that one would be the one, because let's look at Chris Weidman, let's be honest. I know he's bounced back. It's been very inconsistent as of late, and I think if you really want to push him on, you know, Jacare and Chris Weidman, that's more or less a title shot for me in the middleweight division at the moment. Mm. And I know we obviously have the bit of the logjam there now. We'll see what's going to happen.
Well, there's no way they're going to match either Israel or Whittaker before that fight happens in Australia, you know, so you may as well get busy doing something else.
Exactly. Well, yeah, definitely, because he's not going to fight one of them off the bat anyway, so it doesn't make a difference. If you look at the UFC rankings, I know Weidman's six, I'm not sure where Jacare was. Where was Jacare?
Jacare was four.
Was four, okay, so he's, even then, you know.
Maybe Romero is the option.
It does make sense. For him, it would make sense, so why not? Why not do it?
There was something about when he was walking to the...
But is Israel Romero the... I know he starts Chris Weidman, but you know, is he the force?
I think he is, yeah. I do. Yeah, I think he's unbelievable. I think Jacare is as well, to be honest. I just feel like Jacare came into that contest with everything to lose, and there was Jack Hermanson, who has been waiting for an opportunity his whole fucking life. And there wasn't... when I just saw Hermanson walking to the octagon.
You sort of knew, didn't you?
I was like, this guy is a different energy tonight. He's like, I'm going in there to die, basically. And then Jacare then came out and he was very strong as well. He kept on shouting, overcome. And I was going, this is all right, this is crazy.
Well, maybe he was doubting himself.
Yeah, maybe, you know? Overcome the doubt, yeah. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, but I think there is fights there. There's obviously a few we can chalk off, as we said, and there is as well. You know, Costa, that'll be obviously won't be happening for quite some time.
They're still looking into things.
Yeah,
there.
Well, that's why I didn't want to go too crazy on it. But yeah, listen, you could rule that one out for the moment. I think
checking his bushes for Jeff Nowitzki.
Yeah, you know. Really, why not like Kelvin Gastelum either? Like, Kelvin wants to bounce back. I know it's going to be a while before he's back in there. But, you know, these are fights that make sense. And I think, you know, Jack is going to be game for any of them. So there's three or four there that really interest me. Definitely.
Yeah. Definitely. Right. Well, Greg Hardy is in the UFC.
Yeah.
He got his first UFC win. And for the first time in my life, I'm agreeing with Dana White here.
I think that we should look at this a different way, right?
Okay. But fair I can enough, just say for the record, yeah. Smoliakov looked like he didn't belong in there.
Yeah.
If you can make Greg Hardy look like he's in the octagon, look like he belongs in the UFC, you probably shouldn't be in the UFC.
Yeah, I understand that. But I think you have to, if you look at the fundamentals and the basics, how much there was an improvement from Greg Hardy.
I didn't really note this because I was just looking at it. A jobber.
But he did. He closed off the angles. His striking looked crisp, sharp. He didn't drop his
hands.
He's
huge.
He is massive.
And he does have
power.
His whole body is like just incredible. Like, I mean, he's an incredible athlete. There's no doubt about that.
When he obviously got him to the deck, he didn't just lash out. He was very thoughtful in what he was doing, landing the shots. He actually stopped once or twice, repositioned his hands, and then landed. So I think you have to give your bit of credit to Greg Hardy. I know his opponent wasn't up to much at all, but you know, as they say, and it's not his fault, you know, Smoliakov thought he turned down the fight, apparently, in the pre-fight talk. So you can only beat what's put in front of you. So, you know, fair play. If you watch the fight back again, Greg Hardy did a lot of things that were very positive there, because everyone's shatting him, you know, from his first performance, which, yeah, he looked out of it, but way, way, like, I'm talking about 100 times better, I thought, in terms of technique.
The most winning opponent Smoliakov has ever beaten was in his debut. 6-1.
Okay.
Then he beat an 0-2 guy. Then he beat an 0-1 guy. Then he beat a 1-2 guy. Then he beat a 1-0 guy. Then he beat an 0-1 guy. Then he beat a 1-1 guy. And then he beat a 5-2 guy and got to the UFC.
Well, listen, Dana White can moan all he wants.
But he's doing it.
Dana White is the one who's doing it. He's the one who's matching them up with these guys. So, listen.
So you want to be a fucking fighter?
Yeah, exactly.
Fight Greg Hardy. Go ahead.
Exactly. You're in. It's just double standards the whole time from Dana and the UFC. So listen, I'm hats off to Greg Hardy in this one. Well done, Greg.
Okay. So that was obviously a loss for Russia after the big the main event win. We also had Ion Kutalaba on the card, who started so well. Mm. We fancied him to have a fast start, but he did not have that continued presence throughout the fight. He got submitted in the second round by Glover Teixeira. Every time I think somebody's about to get a changing of the guards win against Glover, he does that.
Yeah,
as soon as he got mount on the guy, I was like, this is over.
Is there like, with Glover, you know, that air of invincibility has gone a long time ago. You know, it's just sort of...
Even the air of contendership is...
Yeah, it's you know, he's, what is he? You know, it's...
He's a very good fighter.
There's too many guys like that in that division. There really is.
Very good fighters who can't push on.
Yeah, they're just literally gatekeepers, top 5, 6, and they're never going to win a world title, sorry.
And there's Jones and Cormier.
That's it. Really.
And
don't forget our friend from Sandy Mint.
Oh, Johnny Walker, of course. Yeah. Yes. Yes, indeed. And maybe Alexander Rakic, a Eurobash veteran, might make a splash there later on.
Yeah, definitely.
Sorry, we missed Mike Perry and Oliveira. What a great fight that was.
That was good, yeah.
And we spoke about the Darren Till thing.
Who the fuck called that a split decision?
No, it was a unanimous.
Oh, was it a unanimous?
It was indeed. Okay. The split decision was Corey Sandhagen and John Lineker, which was a very entertaining fight again. Yeah. You heard what Peter Yan had to say about it earlier. He didn't really say anything about the entertainment value, but...
Yeah, definitely.
It was a good fight to watch. I guess the styles were so different. Sandhagen obviously borrows heavily from the Dominic Cruz field of striking. And John Lineker, of course, hands a stone marching forward, planting to the body into the head. It was an entertaining fight for me, to be honest. I was thoroughly entertained for the majority of it.
We talked about this fight last week, Sandhagen.
4-0 now in the UFC.
Yeah, you know, look at the guys he's beaten as well. You know, no mugs in there at all.
Absolutely not.
So this is a guy you need to keep your eyes on. And I think bantamweight really is, with the talent that's coming in from Europe as well, it's becoming like 155 pounds with the depth we've seen over the last 2 years. It's really grown as a flourishing division to really excite the fans. And I think, you know, we're going to see some superstars here in the next couple of years in that division, especially from Europe.
Sato got a second round ground and pound win over Ben Saunders. As Noel predicted, Andre Arlovski goes to a split decision. Very, very uneventful fight, we'll say. Carla Esparza got a unanimous decision win over Verna Jandriboba. I did definitely not say that name right. Gilbert Burns, masterclass of jiu-jitsu.
He's class, Burns.
Oh, stop. Second round submission over Mike Davis. Absolutely brilliant, Dorino. I saw my friends from the Royal Grappling Academy. I saw that WhatsApp group absolutely lighting up when that fight went through. Yeah. Jim Miller with a win again over Jason Gonzalez. Second round rear naked choke. Angela Hill with a unanimous decision win over Jordi Escobel. And Diego Lima got things off to a start with the split decision over Court McGee. So that's everything from the UFC card. And we got a word with Mr. Jack Shore, the champion of Eurobash, the reigning, defending champion, because we wanted to just clear up what was going on, if he'd heard anything.
Just really with the stuff with Boylan said after the fight that he was headlining in Wales as confusing.
We've got all that stuff there for you. Always a pleasure to speak to the champ, and we'll be back after this in 10 minutes. MMAfighting.com, and the champ is here, Mr. Jack Shore. After his successful defense of the Cage Warriors bantamweight title against Scott Malone on Saturday night in Wales. Jack, thanks so much for getting back onto us, man. I really appreciate it. But tell me, how does it feel to finally defend that title?
Yeah, it feels good. Fight went exactly as I thought it would. But yeah, you know, it's always nice that the couple of days after fight to see the hard work pay off. And, you know, and especially when you put in a good performance like that, it's nice to see what you're doing is paying off and obviously working.
Yeah, and I mean, you saying you called this, you called it to a T when you were on with us. You expected that fast start from Scott, who did very well in the first round. But I mean, was that what you expected, like coming up against a judoka of his level, like one of the best in the Europe when he was competing? Did you expect that kind of early takedown offense from him?
Yeah, I knew he was going to come out fast. Obviously, when someone like Scott being at the level he was with judo, he's obviously done it all his life, so they've got, you know, a different kind of strength to what your normal fighter has. So I knew coming out the blocks he would come fast and hard. I knew it was just a matter of, you know, not letting him sort of use that explosiveness, but just letting him burn out, you know, make him work in the exchanges and with my takedown defense and you know, and then see him out there, you know, towards the end of the you know, second, third, fourth round was the plan. And obviously, that's just how it went. He tired out a little bit, I think, after such an explosive first round. And I think my mid kicks and stuff like that helped to slow him down as well.
Yeah, I will ask you about that now in a minute. But I was just wondering, was that why you were forcing the exchanges a lot? Like, I mean, you didn't seem to shy away from them, even though maybe he scored a couple of takedowns in the first. Was your plan to just make him work for as much as he could in the early rounds?
Yeah, that was it. Obviously, I got a lot of faith in my defensive wrestling as well as my offensive, because not a lot of people have really seen me, you know, defend too many takedowns, because it's usually I'm the one who ends up with the top position. But coming in against someone like Scott, I knew there was obviously that chance where I was going. I know my defense is very high level. You know, I got guys in the gym who are big, strong wrestlers, a lot bigger than me, and they struggle to get me down with ease and keep me down. So it was that was exactly it. You know, I didn't shy away from the exchange, because I knew if he did it in an entry, you know, for the takedown or the clinch, that I would be able to go on my own and make him work. And I knew he wouldn't be able to settle or just get me down and keep me down.
There seemed to be a moment, I believe it was in the second round, I could be wrong, where you kind of, as you said earlier, you caught him with a kick across the midriff. And from that point on, it seemed very clear that you were the guy with the momentum. You were the guy that was pushing the pace, and you were the fresher fighter. Did you notice that in there? Did the body shot have a big payoff for you there?
Yeah, just before that, I felt I'd found my range. I'd worked his timing out. I was making him miss of a lot of his shots. He was overreaching. I was able to, you know, catch him with the jab and the right hand. And then that mid kick, you could see it in there. You could see the look on his face. I seen it hurt him. But again, you know, he was still dangerous with the clinch exchange. So I didn't want to bulldoze forward and try and get him out of there and then. because I knew, you know, his natural reaction would be to sort of change level and try and get hold of me and keep all. I knew it was a long left in the round, so I thought, just keep chipping away. And I knew, obviously, you know, it was a massive shot. I seen it there and then, so I knew there's no way you would be able to recover from that, even with the end of the round. And then coming out for the third, I could see, you could see in his pace and his body language, you know, that it had slowed him down. He wasn't throwing as much. He wasn't as sharp. He wasn't as keen on shooting for them entries. And, you know, that ultimately led to me, obviously, coming out and turning the momentum of the fight.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, Jack, you spoke to us beforehand and you spoke about the UFC. If that call came, you'd be willing to take it. I can't believe the amount of people that are online talking about Jack Shore needs to be in the UFC. This is the performance. I mean, after that, you said you'd know you'd be ready after you fight Scott and you got the win as you had forecast. But is it even more stronger now, you're feeling that you're ready to fight in the biggest on the biggest stage in the world?
Yeah, 100%. I think, you know, domestically, I've beaten everyone there is to beat. Scott and Mike, you know, apart from me, would probably wipe out the majority of the you know, anyone else in the bantamweight division in cage. I always fight
two
Scott
great
and Mike.
Fighters,
they're going to be in for a tough night if any of them fight either of those. So, you know, I feel like I've dealt with those guys. And that's not a disrespectful shout to them. You know, they're both very high level itself. But I dealt with them guys. You know, I haven't took no damage. I've looked good doing it. I've managed to get the finish twice. So I think it just goes to show that, you know, I'm capable now of calling for that shot at the top level, because I think it's not, you know, I've known it for a long time, but I think everyone else can see now that the way I'm dealing with these guys shows that I need to sort of step up and get that chance to show that I can compete with some of the best in the world.
Now, it was your manager and your father, I believe, your coach, who told you last time, you know, when they approached you first when you were 3-0. That it probably wasn't a great idea. I think they were right on that one, given how famous you are. Your stock is just huge at the moment. But what are they saying now? Are they in agreement with you that this is the right time? They got to be, right?
Yeah, my coaches are all for it. Obviously, my old man Carl and Gary, they're all for it. And they obviously that's what they want. I haven't had a chance to speak to Graham yet, also him with intensity, but I'm sure he feels the same way. You know, we had a small chat after the fight, and then I was the vibes that everyone was giving off. So I'll get a chance to hopefully speak to him now this week, or my father will speak to him. You know, I'll give him a chance to chill out after the show. they've had a stressful weekend, I imagine, with, you know, what it's like running the show. But
of course.
I'll give him a couple of days and then I'll be on their case, and then hopefully we'll know a bit more then, obviously, in the coming weeks or whatever.
Yeah, I got to ask, because we obviously saw the announcement, the October announcement for Cardiff again. And of course, like, you fully understand the promoter putting your face on that poster, you know, saying there will be another title defense there. But is that for you? Do you feel like that will be the case only if the UFC doesn't come? Of course, that will be the priority at this stage.
Yeah. Obviously, you know, I love fighting for Cage Warriors and fighting in Wales. So If the UFC doesn't come, then, you know, I'll always come back to Wales and fight and fight for Cage. You know, the feeling of fighting in the Vial Arena is second to none. You know, it's something I've never experienced before. You know, that can never be topped by that, I don't suppose, this early in my career. But, you know, that's sort of the backup plan in my head. I've got, you know, if they don't come, then I'll happily go there and defend again or whatever they want me to do. But, you know, hopefully I get that call up and you know, we can go from there then and see what, you know, maybe get a different fight date or whatever. But obviously, if I go and do that, then, I, you know, what you won't catch me complaining in the morning, put it that way.
Absolutely, yeah. No, that's what I figure it would be. But again, we come back to the situation, Jack. Here's the issue. Who's going to fight you next for that title? You know, I'm sure there's lots of people that would put their hands up and say, I'll do it. But I mean, there's no 100% this guy is the natural contender to Jack's title, right? I don't feel like there is at the moment. Do you?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, when I beat Mike, you know, Scott called for the shot on the night. And in all fairness, you know, he'd had two big finishes, especially beating Josh Reed as fast as he did. You know, that's no
absolutely
that's no easy thing to do. So, in all, like you said, he was the standout guy. He was, you know, well, he's got to be next. He's got to get his shot. And in all fairness, he deserved the right to fight for it. But at the minute, there's, like you said, there's plenty who would probably come forward and say that they do it. But there's no one that stands out that sort of deserves it, in my opinion. And to fight for a belt like the Cage Warriors belt, I feel like you should have to earn the shot as well. You know, they shouldn't just be handing it out willy-nilly. So, at the minute, there's no one that really stands out to me. But, you know, I suppose we'll cross the bridge when we come to it.
Is there any, like, I know I'm you know, tempting a little bit here about trying to be a bit clickbaity, if you will, but is there any ideal opponent you'd like, I mean, in the UFC to start off with? Like, do you think that much? Like, I mean, who would be the perfect guy for you, or is it just a matter of I'll fight anyone?
Yeah, it's a matter of anyone. Obviously, just all I need is a date and something to put in a diary, and I'm good to go, you know. It's not that the opponent doesn't matter. Obviously, when I get a name, it'll be different. But there's not like I'm gunning for anyone specifically in there right now. I just love to have the shot to compete on that platform and you know, let them know a little bit more about me. You know, let them know who I am and what I'm about. And then, obviously, I'll start calling for this and that there maybe when I'm in there and I start building a name for myself.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, to go 7-0 for Welsh pros there, I think that was probably an extra stress for you going into that fight there, given how well everything had gone for the Welsh fighters. Did you know that they were on an unbeaten streak before you got in there?
Yeah, it's a bit of a madam because in December, obviously it was me, Josh, and Chris on the card for the gym as the pro team. Yes. And Josh and Chris obviously unfortunately both lost in December, so it was sort of all on my shoulders to get a win on the night. You know, so that we all didn't lose. And then this time round, obviously all the Welsh boys won. So I thought I can't be the only Welsh guy to lose, especially in the main event. You know, and I'm sort of the poster boy. I thought the best pulling out the bag. But no, looking back, it obviously shows that that Welsh MMA is on that and it's moving in the right direction. Obviously, to have, what was it, 7-0? I think you said
7-0. Yeah,
to be 7-0 on a show like Cage Warriors, especially in our backyard, is only going to encourage them to come back and keep putting on these big shows and giving the boys a chance to, you know, get those lights and cameras out and give them a chance to get their name out there.
I got to ask you, right, final one, Jack. You know, if you go, like, there's no doubt about how much you mean to the Cage Warriors brand in all over, like, I mean, everywhere. But, I mean, in Wales particularly, you are the guy. There's absolutely no doubt about it. You have been the guy for a long time. Who do you feel will be the next poster boy from Wales? Because there's so many different people it could be. I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, there's so many. There's obviously Mason now has just had a big win on the weekend.
Very good, yeah.
So he looks sharp. Wouldn't surprise me to see him fight for the belt, fight the winner of Grant and Jay Herbert. So, I mean, that obviously, if he fights for the belt and he gets the title, then there's your answer. But there's guys coming through as well. Obviously, Josh Reed's back on a 2-fight win streak now. Yep. So, I mean, he's going to be back in the mix now with a big fight, I'd imagine. Next, you've got Chris Edwards, who's always a ticket seller, you know, whenever
great
he's on
watch.
The card.
Great,
you know,
to
he's going to come and have a tear up, win, lose or draw. The vet, as we like to call him in the gym, the vet comes and put it on the line every time. So he's always a selling point. And then obviously people like Oban coming through as well. You've got Oban Elliott and Jordan Peake. They
look very good as well. Yeah.
Two guys from Wales who have just signed to Cage Warriors through the academy scheme. They've just gone pro. So, you know, don't be surprised. You know, every one of those guys are capable of doing exactly the same or going on exactly the same path as I've gone down. You know, it's just a matter of it clicking and the timing and stuff like that. And, you know, and Aaron Khalid as well, obviously.
Khalid's, I felt so bad for Aaron Khalid.
I forgot about Khalid because he didn't get a fight on Saturday. Yes. But, I mean, if he beat Tom Watson on Saturday, which I think he would have, then, you know, he would have probably been in the mix for a title shot as well. So there's plenty of strength and depth in Wales and, you know, like you said, about tempting fate, if I do move on and whatever, then, you know, there's no drama about the show still being full of talent.
So what's the plan for the celebration? I mean, are you going to go crazy now for a while? You know, or what's the plan? Or do you just chill out and take it as it comes? What's your kind of modus operandi?
I'm not much of a party boy, mate, to be honest. The reason I've talked so long to go today, I'm down Tempe with my girlfriend for a couple of days, chilling out. So we was out and about. So
lovely.
I thought it'd be for a couple of days now. I'll go and celebrate with my friends on Sunday. We've got a night out planned. And then I'll just be back in the gym Monday then, you know, ticking over, getting better. I've got a little bit of time now to improve my technique and get sharper. And then, you know, I've got an all day coming up and stuff like that. But it's just more of a relaxing period, you know, letting myself heal up after a tough 12 weeks and just get ready to go again.
Jack, an absolute pleasure. You blew my mind with that performance, and you have been doing this for a long time now. So I hope everything comes to you that you're looking for, and I can't wait to see you fight no matter what promotion it's with next, because it's always a pleasure to watch you.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it, and always appreciate you having me on, mate. It's always a good crack. So
now you're five times veteran. You
like five times.
You're the reigning champion.
Someone said last time I just as well beat the course. So if you ever stuck for a course, give me a shout. I'll step in, no problem.
Brilliant. I'm going to kick Niall out now.
yeah. Kick into the curb, get the champ in.
All the best, Jack. Thanks so much.
Cheers,
man. Bye.
Ta-ra.
And great to hear from Jack Shore. What a man. Very interested to see what's going to happen with him next. What do you think? Gun to your head, do you think UFC or Cage Warriors title?
UFC.
Yeah, I do too. I really do. Especially like even what he said there in the interview. I mean, the fact that his father, who was a very well-respected member of the UK and Irish MMA community, Richard Shore, and his other coaches are telling him to go. I think it's got to be this time, I think. And look, if he has to go and defend his title again, it's not the worst thing in the world.
No, not at all.
But
I think he's ready. It's just,
as I said to him, like, there's no natural guy that you're looking at and going, I'd like to see him fight Jack Shore.
Because he's beaten all of them, and I think
Scott Malone and Mike Ekinde are savages.
Really good fighters, yeah. So, you know, you're just going, what's next? He's had, obviously, you know, opportunities to go before, so I'm sure that opportunity is going to rise itself in the next couple of months, and I think this time he might very well just go, now's the time to jump on board, because, as we said, that was such a calculated performance and so impressive from such a young man.
Indeedy duty. And we've got the next European Series event this weekend in Birmingham. Brent Primus takes on Tim Wilde in the main event. Huge opportunity for Tim Wilde, a man who has been plying his trade for a long time across the UK and Ireland. You know, it's a big step up, but Tim's been in there with a lot of great fighters.
That could have been Norman Park. Norman Park had taken that fight a while ago.
Yeah, well, there you go.
They were matched up a long time ago, and then just like
signed for several promotions and ended up with KSW.
Yeah, but there you go.
But I mean, is this like too much of a task to ask for Tim? Like,
I think so.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think if you look at Brent Primus, he's a guy who's
Primus,
Optimus Prime.
I call him Prime. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it is Primus, but
no,
I think
just,
it's Primus.
He's just impressed me a lot, and I think, you know,
to win a decision over Chandler, like,
yeah, exactly. That, you know, that.
Oh,
was,
sorry, it was a fourth round. Sorry, yeah, that was a dodgy. Yeah, that was actually
it was
real
when
dodgy.
He broke his leg.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. Yeah. I need to take that back.
But yeah, to still go out.
He went the distance with him
and do that is impressive, and I think. We look at, you know, Tim Wilde, you know, he's got back up there. He's a veteran in the scene. I just wonder sometimes whether it's the right move taking this fight. Maybe needed a fight or two maybe to settle in. And, you know, it's a big stage as well. Sometimes it can be very nerving. It's probably the biggest stage of Tim's career, if we're honest about it.
Maybe he will harness his inner Jack Hermanson.
Well, there you go. Well, Jack was just like, listen, that was next level shit. But yeah, no, I do fancy Primus in this one. I think all round probably a little bit too much.
Pedro Carvalho's run with Bellator has been flying under the radar. He's 2-0, I think, so far.
He is.
And of course, that win over Daniel Crawford, I believe, kicked it off for him, which was, a lot of people didn't see that happening. You know, a lot of people thought Daniel Crawford's a blue chip prospect.
Yeah.
And he went in there and got a decision win off. I thought he won clearly that fight. It was a split decision in the end. But then he went on about Luca Vitali then at Bellator 211. And now Derek Campos is here, and a very experienced campaigner, has fought at 145 and 155.
Well, I think it's the litmus test he needs.
Mm.
And I think it's a good sort of measure to see where he's at facing
international
a guy
level.
Like, Derek Campos, yeah, definitely.
And so, Campos has been around the block, you know?
Yeah, he sure has.
I think he might have fought, competed for the featherweight title in the past.
He's had about 100 fights in Bellator. And he's, like, he's one of those guys that they just got him from zero and just built him all the way up. Like, he obviously hasn't, but he's definitely been around the block in Bellator fighting championships anyway. Definitely 100%.
He's fought Michael Chandler.
I wasn't far Brandon off Kurtz, to be honest.
Melvin Gallardi has a win over.
Bellator debuts Bellator in 96. Well, in 2013. So yes.
Well, he's coming off two losses to Patricky Pitbull and Sam Cecilia. No slouches by any means, but I mean, you're dead right. If Pedro can do this, he's really establishing himself on the international scene, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's making a move up, and for the Bellator matchmakers and obviously Scott Coker and those guys, it's a statement of intent to say, you know, I'm ready to make this transition up into the upper echelon of the divisions.
Yes, yes. Fabian Edwards against Falco Neto Lopez is also on that main card. I wanted Fabian Edwards a big fight on the nearly the main event of this card. Like, I feel like he is there or thereabouts at this time. Obviously, the opponents didn't present themselves. He says he wants the winner of Van Steenis and Mike Shipman, which is coming up in June, I believe. Mm. So that's going to be very interesting. I do expect Fabian to get the job done.
Yeah, I think you would. But
it's a test of experience again.
Yeah, but is it maybe should it have been a little bit more of a jump this time?
Well, I feel like when we talked to Fabian after this fight, well, just ahead of when this fight was announced, it was the week of the Leon Edwards.
Yeah.
And he kind of said, look, there's no one stepping up to fight me and I need to fight.
Yeah, you know? I think that could be a problem with him, man. But if you look at the opponent level, like we know Lee Chadwick, we know the power that guy possesses. We know
he's also on the card, yeah.
We know the dangers he possesses. For Fabian to do what he did to him sort of says to me that, you know,
let's maybe step it up a bit.
Step it up a little bit. But yeah, you know, if that's fair enough, you
give him Gegard.
I tell you what, let's not rule that out in the next year.
Yeah, yeah, maybe not. Raymond Daniels, who we'll be talking to later on, takes on Wilker Barros, a short notice replacement opponent. But, you know, Raymond is 0-1 from 2008. Legend. Like, there's no reason why he should be going in with a
kickboxing legend.
Yeah, and Wilker is also a decorated kickboxer. So, I mean, we might not see this hit the ground, but I mean, I'm sure that it will be something to watch for the definitely. Bellator Birmingham crowd. Our very own Brian Moore takes on Sun Lebin. I have a video coming out with Brian during the week this week.
Don't watch it, it's crap.
Huge fight for
it's
Brian.
Not in focus. Shit.
Huge fight for Brian at 135. You know, do you feel like this is a turning point in his career in a way because of the 135? Like, I mean, I was watching him spar, man. He is a
he's
big
unreal.
Guy.
We've said this for years, Petey.
Yeah.
About how good his hands were. And I think we saw that in the last fight, in fairness. Until that second round where he just got, you know, he's had problems with those hands, broke both hands in that round. His boxing, so crisp, so clean, so good in and out, so fast as well. And I remember, I think it was, when was it we were down watching when Bellator was coming to Dublin, and myself and yourself were just going, man, look at Brian in here, man. He's probably the best looking boxer in SBG.
Yeah, he's really, really technical. Yeah, he is.
And, you know, it is a turning point though now. I know it was very unfortunate, the fight against Nowat, when he broke the two hands. He was definitely on top of that fight until that happened. Obviously a massive, massive hinder in block, you know, breaking both your hands,
of course,
and breaking them very badly as well. We saw Brian in surgery and his social media. But, you know, the promotion aren't going to care about whether he's breaking his hands or not. They're going to go, oh yeah, he looked good, he still lost the fight. That's the bottom line for Brian. Brian needs to go in here and make a statement of intent at 45. And I think he's the type of guy that has really sort of channeled his focus since he's become a full-time fighter in mixed martial arts. People don't understand that about Brian as well, and I think we need to mention that. It was only his last two or three fights that he's actually been training mixed martial arts full-time.
And a young family, his own business. I mean, Jesus.
It's a lot. But I think Brian now, with the mindset, I think he's become a lot, lot stronger over the last two or three fights, and I think he feels as though it's all coming together now. And I think we've seen that. It's just if he can just keep those injuries out of it. And you know, I do hope it works out for Brian because he's a fantastic talent.
We've got a tough champion against a former Cage Warriors title contender with Saul Rogers v. Aiden Lee. I think this is a very big fight at 55, you know. Rogers as a guy that we've been wanting to see compete in the...
Do you think it's a bit too soon for Aiden Lee to make the jump? Did you? Yeah, I know it's obviously Bellator. You know, maybe...
Is this a 55 or 45?
45.
I'd assume it was 45, but it says 55 here. It might. Topology.
But Saul.
Saul was a featherweight, yeah.
Yeah. Last fight was 155 for Saul. So maybe it is. Maybe Lee's stepping up. Interesting one. I think it is a little bit, you know, Saul, we know Saul. He's a guy who's obviously got upset very badly at ACB. Against Oriel Peretta, I think the Romanian, you know, the failed contract, obviously, with the UFC, all that what happened there was very disappointing for Saul. Saul's a lovely guy. Had a lot of ups and downs in his career, and I think it's going to be very interesting now that he has this opportunity with Bellator Fighting Championships to see if he can jump back in there and, you know, really make a go for it. Because I think it's one of those cases now with Saul. It's now or never. You know, and I think really he needs to go in there and take Aidan Lee out of it. But that's, you know, Aidan Lee's a pretty bloody good fighter. We've seen how good he was.
I was very shocked at what Dean Truman could do to him, you know.
Yeah. So I would favour Saul experience.
I think you got it.
And
but what a scalp would be for Aidan at this time in his life.
Oh, yeah. I think Aidan might have jumped the gun a little bit, signing for Bellator, but, you know, obviously...
Well, especially with the featherweight title now up for grabs.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah, exactly. It does. You know, it's about these different directions guys want to go in their career. You know, it's up to them. Maybe the money was good, so somebody couldn't turn down, you know.
Yeah, but just taking a look further down the card, Jimmy Wall had a look to make it 2-0 with Bellator when he takes on Giorgio Petrini. James Mulheron at 205 against Lee Chadwick, who was moving up to 205. Two veterans there, man. Two absolute savages of the UK scene taking on each other. That should be a good one. Mulheron's debut at 205 for Bellator didn't go as planned, but, you know, I think he has plenty left in the tank, especially when you see the way the likes of KSW heavyweight champion Phil DeFries talks about him, you know. Phil DeFries wasn't comfortable calling himself the best heavyweight in England until Mulheron went down to 205, so that will say something for it. Dominic Wooding against David Calso, I expect, I think...
It's a total mismatch, in my opinion.
Yeah, you know, 2-4 Calso against 5-2 Wooding, and Wooding has taken on, I mean, his losses...
Yeah, Wooding's, like, 5-2, like, his two losses, it's a very deceptive record.
Yeah, I mean, I think he was, like, 1-0 taking on Andy Young, you know, that's crazy.
He's a guy...
And made one mistake and lost for it.
He's one of those guys where you go...
He's unreal.
If you just rewind back a little bit, maybe they should slow a guy like him
down. He's unbelievable.
Yeah, he's unbelievable. They should need to slow him down. He's a guy maybe that does jump into fights too quickly.
We have to talk to him soon. I don't know how we haven't talked to him yet. Yeah, no, he's one of my faves.
He is brilliant. He's a fantastic fighter to watch.
Craig Turner v. Ashley Reese. Everybody's very excited about Ashley Reese. Kane Musa is making his debut. Another great personality, an entrepreneur, a man who has turned his life around since an early prison sentence.
Yeah.
He takes on Matthew Piskors. Daniel Castle v. John Nichols. Mohamed Yahya against Gavin Hughes. We have Yannick Bahadi against Adis Dadovic. Joseph Whelan versus Simon Ridgway. Kieran Lister v. Konstantin Nunsariev. Yeah, Nusariev, yeah, that's how you say that, sorry man. And then we have Ichigbo versus Percival and Wanlis versus Sam Slater, SBGs. I think Sam is coming off a loss. Am I right there? He came off a loss in Dublin.
Yeah,
he
did.
Yeah, so a lot
very
of
highly
fights.
Talked up young lad, Sam Slater, before
he's a
that last
devil,
last
tell you.
Fight. So probably one to watch there, see if he can bounce back.
I think he came from a kickboxing background, you know, he was very, very, a lot of the SBG guys were singing his praises. So, I mean, you know, you can expect a hiccup early in your career when you're changing over from the sport, but 19 fights again, man. That's a long night's work for me, man.
It's too
much.
That's
two cards.
It's too much, yeah, and it's...
a lot of promises made to fighters there, though, so I guess you have to see it honoured.
Yeah, that is. No, listen, in fairness, we did, man. At least these guys are getting paid and they're actually getting active now, so that's definitely a benefit for me.
Indeed. sorry, I was just, we're indeed. Moving on to the UFC card, of course.
Ali Quinta and Howboy.
Yeah.
How are you, boy?
That's a big fight at 155 at the top of that card, man.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, why do you sort of put this? Cowboy, you know, a little bit of a resurgence as of late. You know, had that little flirting period with 170 pounds. Had a kid, seems to be very much the case. Went back down to 155 pounds. And now he thinks he's going to win the title again. I just don't see it. I really don't see it.
Why?
Cowboy, you know, I did think Alec Hernandez would beat him. I think Alex's problem in that fight was maybe a little bit of youthful exuberance in the fight. Was very reckless, very raw. Surprisingly, compared to his other fight, before that, when he finished, who did he finish in his UFC debut? It was Beniel Dariush, I believe it was, in such spectacular fashion. And I just think a guy like Ali Quinta is too clever. He's been around the block. We've seen him fight Habib. He's a guy that's going to, you know, he's not going to go out there and force the issue. I thought we saw a very patient Ali Quinta against Habib. Obviously, you know, bounced back with that win against Kevin Lee, you know, little bit of an argument there for me whether he won that fight or not. I think that was up for debate as well from quite a lot of people.
I don't know, I thought Al won it.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, Grant, I'm not going to sit here and fucking moan about it for 2 hours, but I think
But the people want
this
to
is
moan.
A fucking nightmare for Cowboy, this fight. I think Ali Kinta is just, the last two fights especially, he's learned a world.
And his hands are fantastic.
And his hands have got better and better and better. And I think, you know, he's going to push the pace here in Cowboy. You know, level change if possible as well. He's very, very good. Underrated ground game, Ali Kinta. But I think he's going to have enough here in the feet to really get inside Cowboy and trouble him.
Derek Brunson v. Elias Teodoro isn't setting my heart aflutter.
No. I don't like any of Teodoro's fights, to be honest with you. I'm not going to lie. I think he's often quite laboured in many of his approaches and things he does. He doesn't stand out in one particular
Brunson
area.
Brunson feels like a big step up for him.
It does, but he's sort of been floating around for a long, long time where he hasn't really probably made a step up to a substantial level to Derek Brunson. And I worry for Brunson as well, a guy who's lost four of his last six fights, coming off that loss to Jacare and Adesanya. Good lot of finishes in there as well, knockouts. You wonder if Teodoro's going to grind him out here now and do that sort of game plan, which he has implemented quite frequently. But then on the other hand, Brunson has incredibly good boxing. So it is an interesting fight, but yeah, it's not getting my heart racing, PT.
No, it really isn't. Swanson and Burgos, are you excited for that one?
Yeah, that's you know, Cobol was in really good fights, and I think
three losses on her own.
Yeah, and I remember watching Burgos and Qatar at UFC 223.
That was a great fight
in Brooklyn. Yeah, so listen, it's a tough fight. It's a one that sort of keeps Cub in there. It's sort of relevant still, and I think the winner of that. As we said, you know, at that weight class, there's really some killers row. And I think if Burgos gets a win there...
He's into that.
Because Calvin Kattar is a stud man as well. I like Calvin a lot. So,
What a tough debut that was for Chris Fishgold.
Yeah, big time.
Jesus Christ.
Poor fishy.
SBG's Brad Katona takes on Mirab Devilasvili on the main card at 135. I expect Brad to get the job done there, to be honest.
Yeah, Mirab Devilasvili. Coming off, who did I say he beat there in his last fight? He's coming off a win against, I was just looking at it 2 minutes ago. My brain is fried, it's too late.
Tyrion Ware,
that's right.
That was in Russia, and I was telling everyone, I don't remember.
Yeah,
Tyrion Ware's clever money's on Tyrion Ware there.
That's right.
He got absolutely grappled just on the ground for three rounds there. Sorry about that, lads.
Now, Brad's looked decent tonight. I would expect him to get the win.
And he, of course, was helping Brian Moore. The two of those guys would have been working together, priming themselves for the same weekend.
Yeah.
Iron sharp as iron. And I saw Nikolai in there with them as well. Grazia.
Brad sort of reminds me of the water boy.
Watch.
Bobby Boucher. But he's good, like, he's been impressive.
So we have Mirab, who is actually from Georgia, which is on an intersection between Eurasia and Eastern Europe, so we'll take him. But Brad's kind of got his foot in the old European waters as well with SBG. But we have Sergei Spivak, who takes on Walt Harris. He's making his debut. He's a WWFC champion.
WWF is like, what?
That's the same promotion that Ireland's Blaine O'Driscoll won a title recently.
That's right, Kiev.
So that's it. Walt Harris, like, straight in there.
I think we should actually go to Kiev for a fight sometime. You know what?
Get a bit of chicken, Kiev.
You know how much a pint is in Kiev?
Go.
70 cent on draft. 70 cent, Peter.
Jesus.
And 90 cent, apparently, for a bag of cans.
Wow.
Like, imagine that. Like,
we get arrested.
Oh, yeah. That's a given.
It would be a bad one.
We just bribed them.
Also, in the European interest in the prelims, we have Neymar's bodyguard, Nordin Talib. Where was he when he was throwing digs at the weekend, huh? Against Kyle Probolik of Canada. So that's really all of our European interest there.
Is he not Canadian now? Or what's the crack?
No, he's French.
Has he not made his mind up?
No, I'm taking him.
We'll take him.
Any other fights there you're really looking forward to?
Casey Chasson, looking forward to seeing her back in there. That's a tough fight against
Morose.
Cheesecake. So that's an interesting fight. You would, from what I've seen from Macy, really improved in her last outing, obviously, from winning the Ultimate Fighter. It looked really, really good against Gina Manzani. Absolutely, you know, sparked poor Gina out badly in that one. Changed the weight class as well. This is a potential contender we have here, so I'm expecting her to take this one with ease.
We'll see. Yeah, Ayman Zahabi returned to action as well. He takes on Vince Morales,
right,
brother of Faraz Zahabi, the celebrated coach, TriStar head coach. Arjun Bullar as well on the card against Juan Adams, the first man to wear a turban to the octagon, as we know. There's a fair few decent fights there. I'm not jumping up and down about it for Sunday night.
I'm not really either.
No.
But I'll tell
you. I like the main event a lot.
The main is a class fight, right?
Right.
But that, I think, fight does have significant permutations.
Oh, yeah. At the very top.
Of that fight.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it does.
You know, you've a potential opponent there for Conor McGregor or Tony Ferguson.
Yes.
And I think that's the way, you know, if Dustin does get this fight, which, listen, I won't believe Dustin's getting that fight for two weeks.
In the octagon.
You've two opponents there waiting for something to happen. And I think, you know, that the way the division's panning out, and it's been such a shame, the division over the last number of years, we haven't seen so many of the fights we've all wanted and dreamed about seeing, which has been such a shame, that now I think is really the time for this to happen, or it's, you know, it's shit to get off the pot, really, for a lot of these guys.
Yeah, no, I think you're right, and you're right with the permutations, like, and I mean, that makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure the guys know themselves that they're going in there to claim a spot against one of these guys, because 154 is all over the place.
It's mad.
It needs to sort the...
Literally, it's like the top of the division was in hell for 6 years. Like, literally, with the fights that we could have seen that we haven't seen. Yeah. It's a crying fucking shame. It really is.
And you're right in the way that it kind of feels like it's going to happen again a few times.
It does. Of course it does. Like, you know, we look at, you know, Dustin and Diaz last year.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Fell out, so...
Right, well, to look forward to the weekend, we spoke to one of the greatest kickboxers of all time, Mr. Raymond Daniels. We got some time with him on his birthday as well, so, I mean, I feel extra bad for that. But, yeah, we'll see in about 10 minutes to wrap this baby up. MMAfighting.com, and I am joined by the greatest of all time, one of the greatest kickboxers ever, and a man who will make his Bellator MMA debut this weekend, Mr. Raymond Daniels. Raymond, how are you?
I'm doing great, man. I can't complain, brother. It's actually my birthday and fight week. It's first day of fight week. So, you know, I'm out here chilling with some great friends and my fiance. So, blessed.
Congratulations. I didn't realize it was your birthday.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. It happened to be my birthday. I didn't really get to celebrate like I would normally do, but I figure I might as well celebrate it this Saturday.
Yeah.
In a big way. You
know? Yes. And we're all looking very much to see that. I mean, the first time I spoke to you, Raymond, I believe it was when you were in training camp with Rory McDonald ahead of the Wonderboy fight. And at that time, you told me, you know, you had already signed for Bellator kickboxing. But you said at the time, you know, if the right opportunity presents itself, you might like to test yourself in MMA again. But could you explain to us how this came together?
You know, it kind of came together as like my evolution to my fighting, me growing as a fighter and as a person. You know, I don't like to look forward into a film until I accomplish what my goal is and until I finish and follow through with what I planned on accomplishing. And when I spoke to you then, I wasn't the kickboxing champion at the time. And then so now I've accomplished that. I've defended my title. And now the opportunity has presented itself for me to be able to go and challenge myself and kind of correct a past error that went wrong, so to speak, in life with my last MMA event when I first fought in Strikeforce all those that decade or so ago. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the opportunity to get back in there and mixing it up. And now that I've accomplished and won that Bellator kickboxing title, you know, it's time for me to look towards the MMA one now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, how different does this feel compared to your MMA debut? I believe it was in 2008. How different do you feel in terms of your all-round game compared to then?
Oh, man. I mean, I was young. I was 27, which is older, but you're still younger in life. So I feel a totally different experience, a totally different mindset as far as, you know, when you're a little bit older, you're able to reflect on life and understand what you did and didn't do in order to prepare yourself correctly. And when I did that all those years ago, I didn't prepare myself, honestly, at all. I was a young fighter. I was an undefeated kickboxer. And I'm like, oh, well, I'm knocking everyone out that I fight. I'm knocking them out within seconds. I'm like, I'll just go in this MMA ring and knock this person out too. You know, that was my mindset as a young man. And when I think sometimes when you're undefeated, you know, and if you don't have anybody to steer you or guide you in the correct direction, it can be one of the, it can be what happened to me. You know what I mean? And so I think that was a, honestly a blessing in disguise, even though I didn't recognize it at the time. So now I've actually prepared myself with wrestling. I've actually prepared myself with the MMA, and I feel that I've even at this time from where I was then have matured so much as a stand-up fighter. So I'm really excited to go out there. I've actually been looking forward to this for quite some time, and now the time has actually come for me to, I guess, it'd be allow me to reintroduce myself.
Yes, absolutely. And I mean,
the MMA world, at least.
Yes, yes. And how did you prepare for this? I mean, were you using a lot of different facilities, a lot of different gyms, different training partners? How did you go about it?
Yeah, I've got a chance to use a whole bunch of different training partners. I'm very fortunate and blessed to have had the success that I've had in my stand-up fighting. So I've gotten the opportunity to meet and link up with people as like GSP, Rory McDonald. I got Sage, I got Kit Dale, I got Joe Murphy, my classic team with Joe Murphy and Tyler. Got my boxing coach Ramon Espada, and so I've had a whole bunch of different people that have come through for me. You know, I've come through for a lot of them. You know, during their times of need or whatever the case is, and so they've all been more than happy to come and help me out and give back to me. So it's been actually a great experience, and I think the reason why I never really wanted to do it before is because I didn't really enjoy the wrestling and the grappling. I wasn't enjoying that side of it. That's why I always stayed in my lane with the kickboxing. But I think as I've gotten older, I've matured a little bit differently, and now I'm starting to enjoy that grind of that wrestling and of that jiu-jitsu. So I've gotten to train with some amazing people that have helped me, that have given me the skills that I need to take on this level. And then I'm looking forward to getting more skills in order to, you know, take on that next level. So, you know what I mean? Yeah, you got to crawl before you walk. And that's also with experience, like in life. You know, when I first fought that first MMA fight, I fought somebody who had like 16 MMA fights on my first debut of an MMA fight.
Wow.
That is being young and not understanding that you got to crawl before you walk. You got to walk before you run, and you got to run before you can fly. So I, like I said, I've trained with some great people for this camp, I'm looking forward to going out and being able to use and implement the skills that they've blessed me with.
How comfortable do you feel with grappling now? Is like, I mean, it's such a different thing to striking, right? It's a completely different skill set. How comfortable do you feel now with that?
Oh man, I don't think that anybody can ever feel comfortable, to be honest, with grappling. From what I've understood about grappling, what I've learned about grappling, there is no comfort zone. I've had an opportunity to train with, like I said, I trained with like Kit Dale, I've trained with Ryan Hall, I've trained with Sean Strickland.
Brilliant
and
training partners.
It is so crazy because, yeah. So those are some of my training partners. It's like, the crazy thing about it is everybody has, like with kickboxing or boxing, you know, everybody has a certain tool set that they can come at you with. And I understand this tool set, front, back, inside, out, up, down, left, right. It doesn't matter what direction you come or throw it at me. We're on our feet and I understand it. With the whole like grappling aspect of it is such a different sport because everyone has a different, they can translate it in a different way. When you look at jiu-jitsu, if you just look on YouTube or on Instagram, everybody's coming out with brand new technique, brand new guard, brand new defenses, brand new ways to submit you. So, you know, I think it's such a crazy game. So I don't think there's ever and will ever be a necessary, I would say, a comfort level that I would have there. I'm comfortable being uncomfortable. Is I guess how I kind of look at it and how I'm taking the jiu-jitsu. I've been working more on my, I would say, anti-jiu-jitsu because I think there's so many ways to, you know what I mean? There's so many ways to skin a cat with jiu-jitsu. It's just like, it's ridiculous to how many different ways and tools that people have. I think it's amazing. And that's why I said now I'm able to enjoy and understand the beauty of that and of wrestling as well. And just the grind in wrestling of what it takes in order to continuously push at that pace.
Mm. And I know you had an opponent change. You take on Wilker Barros now, and I believe your first opponent was John Duran. Does that change anything for you, or was this more of a kind of a, you were kind of more focusing on yourself ahead of this one?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I'm focusing on me more than opponent. Opponent has two hands, 2 feet. You know, so I usually don't worry about my opponent. I allow my coaches to do that. I mean, the main things that did change for me is Durant was a southpaw like myself, so I was excited because I actually have a lot of experience fighting southpaws, but I haven't had an opportunity in any of my full contact fights to actually fight a southpaw. So I was excited to be able to unleash my southpaw tool set, so to speak. You know, and then it changed to Burroughs, and you know, now it's just an adjustment. He's an orthodox fighter, so now my skill set changes. So my fight is based sometimes off of what stance my opponent's in. A lot of times me, I can switch my stances back and forth. But I'm really focusing on myself more than my opponent, because there's a big learning curve for me with wrestling and with the jiu-jitsu, you know. So I've been really focusing on developing those skill sets. So therefore, I mean, I never overlook an opponent, but I plan on rising to the top. So, you know, it's one fight at a time. This is the first step towards my ultimate goal of being the greatest of all time, God over all things, which I always like to call myself the GOAT. So that's this is just that one step towards that.
I have to say, like, I'm very excited about this. I've been watching your kickboxing fights for a long, long time, and I think you're one of the most spectacular strikers, one of the most spectacular showmen in all of combat sports. I mean, you must feel like you're bringing something new to Bellator here, its MMA portion, with this very unique style you have.
Yeah. I'm a high-risk, high-reward type of guy when I fight. You know, not a lot of people are willing to go out and do and risk by doing the techniques that I do when I fight. And I think that the reason that is just they don't take the time to practice and understand those techniques. I've done it for over 3 decades now, you know, so a lot of the stuff that I do is kind of like second nature to me. It's kind of like throwing a jab, you know, it's very, very basic. But I'm really excited because I know that, you know, the MMA world hasn't really kind of seen necessarily my style of fighting before with the flash, with the showmanship. You know, I know there's fighters out there that fight similar to my style, you know what I mean, as far as like Mike Page or Wonderboy or Pettis or even Connor, you know what I mean? But I don't think, and I don't take anything away from any of those guys because I'm a huge fan of all of them. But I have a different style and skill set, speed than even all of them, than all of they do. So I'm excited to see if I can go out and do what I do in kickboxing and implement that into the MMA world on a high level, you know. So, it's really exciting time for me. I'm going to be honest. I've prepared for this fight harder than I've prepared for any of my fights ever in the past. I guess your next fight is always your most important fight. I've prepared for this one in a way that I've never done before. So I'm excited to go out and reap the fruits of my labor.
Absolutely. And I mean, do you see this as a bit more of an experiment? Is this a chance for you to test yourself in MMA and, you know, be fully invested in that? Or do you feel like you're going to defend your Bellator kickboxing title as well? Or how do you see it? Like, what's your plan here? Or is it all depending on what happens on Saturday?
That's an awesome question. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth. I mean, I could have rode off into the sunset with my Bellator kickboxing title and not risked anything on going into the MMA world, because I feel when it comes to stand-up fighting, there's not a lot of people that can actually deal with what it is that I do. You know, they have to more try and figure out me than me figure out them, just because that's my forte. But for me, it's about stepping outside my comfort zone. It's about continuing to challenge myself. And at the end of the day, you don't want to have any regrets in life. I'm doing it because I want to do it, because I enjoy it, because I want to challenge myself, because it makes me uncomfortable. And I like to be comfortable being uncomfortable, if that makes any sense. I don't look forward to as far as leaving the kickboxing behind. I look forward to still maintaining my kickboxing world title and rising to the top and becoming what I like to call the champ champ. My version of the champ champ is the kickboxing champ and the MMA champ. And I think it would be nice to have belts from multiple sports on my shoulders. And then I figure after I win the MMA belt and I have the kickboxing belt, I'll just call out whoever the boxing champ is and go for the hat trick and be the champ, champ, champ.
Yes, yes. I love it. I love it. And I can't wait to see it, Raymond. And thank you so much for joining us today, especially on your birthday of all days. I mean, wow, they're really putting some rigorous press arrangements forward for you.
Yeah, yeah, no problem at all, man. It's my pleasure. You know, I'm just kind of relaxed, maxing, relaxing, and the accumulation of my birthday is actually going to be this weekend as I finish this fight in a spectacular fashion. So that's going to be me blowing out my candles.
Okay, Raymond, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to the fight. All the best. And thank you very much to Raymond Daniels. Great to speak to him again. It's a long time since I spoke to Raymond.
Legend.
He didn't remember me, let's be honest. I'm not very memorable. But, a long old episode this week. This is a record. Is this the first time we've had four interviews on the show?
Yeah.
This is the launch of Apple and Spotify.
Too many. You're situation. Boring the fuck out of our listeners.
That's just you, mate.
They'll unsubscribe now.
We can't. But you need to be nice and put in nice comments and subscribe and all that nice stuff.
That's it.
You have to
subscribe, share, retweet.
After all your belly aching, like all the people getting onto us, we've got it now.
They have to share the
fucking
fuckers.
Comment on it.
Every person who wanted it on iTunes has to comment, has to subscribe, has to like.
Or you're getting a virtual
has
speed
to go
off.
Give these two guys millions and millions of euro.
All that stuff.
All that shit. You know what I mean?
Like, we're two gods
free,
here for God's
free
sake.
Free drinks when we go out. All that shit.
100%.
I'm thirsty. I'm very thirsty tonight. I feel angry. I swear to God.
Well, look, these things happen, Noel. So United have definitely lost fourth place now. Is that fair enough to say?
Yeah, it's very disappointing, very depressing. I think it is. Unless, listen, top four has been mental the last few weeks, but I think that was the final nail, the final push. I think even if they win the two now, still, I think Chelsea are going to do enough to get that fourth spot. So, no. Next year.
It's tough. You're up to date with Game of Thrones. You weren't last week. And
I'm not loving it.
No. You're one of the only people I've heard saying that.
I'm not loving it. I think it's just
to go and watch the latest
too
episode.
Long, outdated, too many fight scenes. Like, ugh. Just same old rubbish.
Jesus.
Game of Shrones.
Game of Moans, but you talking about
it. It is, indeed.
But are you going to watch the fights this weekend? Are you going to have to catch up with them again?
I'm working again Saturday night.
Oh,
so,
lovely.
I'll get the main event in anyway. And then, I'll get the main event in anyway.
Yeah, that's...
Or it's Sunday night, sorry.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
No, I'll get to watch all of them.
Well, there you are.
Bag of cans, so.
You'll have to be fresh then for the next day when we're recording this, but other than that, all good. I was at a wedding there last weekend.
I forgot about your wedding. How's your wedding?
Yeah, it was really good. It was actually brilliant. It was my mate, Catherine Ansborough. She's getting married. Went to college with her. She's a great girl. A legend. And she was... The marriage hasn't changed her at all. She was on a mad one. I went to bed early because I had a 5-hour drive home the next day. But the MMA fighting team got me to call into a meeting at just the right time when I was had a skin full in me, Noel.
Lovely.
And I started telling all types of stories. And then eventually, thank God, my signal went somehow and I got crashed out.
We've all
attended work meetings. Sauced.
Or being on national airwaves sauced.
Yeah, we've definitely done that.
Yeah.
But these things happen, but it was a great time. I got to lend me dad's car because I didn't trust the Lions car going down there. It feels amazing.
Where was it on?
Mayo.
All right, lovely. Yeah. The old man was in a wedding in Mayo as well.
Was he?
Yeah, it wasn't that though.
Westport?
No, just not Foxford.
Could have given me a shout. We would have went for a few points.
I had a few on Friday night. That was it. Now nothing spectacularly mad.
I saw John Elliott slapped you in the face on Instagram.
I slapped him in the face.
I saw that. There was slaps.
I bought a new camera.
Look how exciting our lives are.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Trying to better myself by buying a fucking camera.
that's all for
then,
nudes.
Like, then you instantly regret it after. Go. They could have been 1,200 pints. Instead of 1,200 fucking pounds. So, ah, oh, sure, listen, it's done now. Sure, what can he fucking do? But Lee, I'm getting an iPhone as well tomorrow. So I had an upgrade due, which was a nice pleasant
I think he's
surprise.
Either throwing himself out in front of a bus by the sounds of things here.
So I got,
got a claim off Dublin Bus.
I checked my phone last night, my three online, and whoever, my cell phone.
Your cell phone provider.
My cell phone provider, and I was due an upgrade 2 years ago since I left. Sure, I did. So remember that I ever had a story? I was out up north shooting a video for a GAA player, and we stopped off in the garage, right? And we stopped off to get food. So Shane, the fella I was with, went into the petrol station. It was the night, remember the snowstorms we had here last January?
Oh, yeah, Jesus.
And I had the phone like 4 or 5 weeks, whatever. And I put the phone, I was looking for an SD card that I dropped, so I sort of opened the door of the car and I put the phone on top of the car. I was like, fuck, where's it? End up finally going, oh, grand. Got back in the car, Shane jumps in, we drive off down the motorway. I hear, phone dropped off the top of the roof. I left on the top of the roof on the motorway.
God.
Couldn't even see, it was pitch black dark. Looked back about a half an hour and I just got the phone about 2 months. So I had another iPhone. Crappy 5S lying around, so I'm getting a 7 for free. It's grand.
There you go. You know, look,
that's it. You know,
it's always darkest before the dawn, as they say.
It's been a long fucking dawn.
It's been a long day. So we'll leave you there. We did lots of work for you this week. We got it on Bleating Spotify, we got it on Bleating iTunes. Start subscribing and saying nice things about us. And if we aren't, we're going to be very angry next week. I mean, if they aren't there, sure, yeah, look,
what are you going to do? You'll do nothing.
Virtual headbutts.
All right.
There's one. That's just a taste.
I'll give you one as well.
All right, see that?
There you go.
Loafed from every angle. I'll talk to you later. All the best. Love yous.